monsters we created to stop them. We thought we had sacrificed enough. But the war we thought we finished is just beginning. And the only thing standing in front of the apocalypse is us.
Hi, Darren. How are you?
Yeah, hi, Stephen. Thanks very much for talking to us this morning. How are you going?
Oh, very well. It's always nice to be back in Australia.
That's great to hear. First things first, I watched the film yesterday and I really, really enjoyed it. I had a shitload of fun.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, I just wanted to let you know I was pleasantly surprised in how much I enjoyed it. And I think all of us enjoyed it that watched it. So,
you know, when I first signed on, I joked that I wanted people coming out of this movie to say, well, that's better than I expected it would be. So apparently I'm hitting the mark.
Yeah, definitely, for sure. So we'll just jump straight in. You come from a rather extensive background in television producing and writing on shows such as like Buffy, Angel, Smallville, Dollhouse and Daredevil. And then you then created the Spartacus series.
Right.
How does that progression from that manage to get you a job behind the camera of Pacific Rim?
You know, I always had a grand plan. I actually started wanting to be a feature writer and segue into writing and directing features. But by the luck of chance, I fell into television. I'm very happy that I did. I've had a fantastic time, and it's been very good to me. But back when I was working with Joss Whedon on Buffy, I had expressed an interest in directing. And when I ended up on his other show, Angel, he came to me and said, hey, you know, I want to give you a shot. And he was fantastic with things like that. He gave so many of us a chance at directing for the first time. And I got a taste for it, and I really liked it. And then continuing on the shows that I went on to with Smallville and Dollhouse, I kept directing.
Yeah.
and kept honing the craft. And then I went to Spartacus, and I was so busy with the writing side. I was always scheduled to direct and always had to drop out because I was behind on the scripts. And then with Daredevil, season one of Daredevil, I finally had time to step back behind the camera with the finale. And that really gave me a taste for it again. So from there, I actually sat down with Mary Parent. She was producing over at Paramount at the time. And she was a fan of Spartacus. And I pitched her a small $10 million psychological thriller, basically three people in a house. And she said, oh, that's great. When you write it, send it to me. That should be your directorial debut.
Yeah.
I go, great. So a couple years later, I finally had 5 minutes to write it, send it to her. She really liked it. We set it up at Paramount. And we were in the process of looking for casting. And it was taking a little bit of time. And out of the blue, she called me up one day and said, what do you think about Pacific Rim 2? And I told her, well, that's quite a bit bigger than three people in a house, but yeah, I'm game. My feeling was it was the exact same kind of thing I've been doing in TV, just like 20 times bigger.
Yeah.
I always say if I hadn't run a couple of TV shows, this would have been a bit of a disaster, but having come from that background and managing large crews and schedules and time and money, all those practical sides of directing, really, really helped coming from a TV background. And then I, once she suggested that, I had to go through several levels of approval.
Yeah.
With people from Legendary and finally with Guillermo himself. And Guillermo was fantastic. I told him, you know, my take on the sequel. He really liked it. He had some ideas and some suggestions. And he told me, look, I'm going off to prep The Shape of Water, which at the time was his passion project and now, of course, a worldwide hit, and rightly so. And he told me, look, anything you need, just call me up. I'm always here for you. But otherwise, I want this to be your movie. I'm going to stay out of your hair, you know, make it your own. And to have that kind of support from someone I admired so much was a huge confidence builder.
Now, you also co-wrote the film.
Yeah.
How was it stepping into both roles of writer-director?
You know, again, it's the same thing. This was the first time I had ever directed something that I hadn't written all by myself. So that was a very interesting process. I quite enjoyed it. I plan on doing it in the future. But in TV, I'd always written and directed all the episodes that I was directing. So it was really, again, it was just an extension of what I've been doing in television.
With how popular the first film was internationally, like especially in like China, etc., did you go into this film going, okay, it needs to have this beat and this and this and that to appeal to that sort of market? Or was that
not
in the
exactly.
back of your mind?
One of the things that really appealed to me about this movie, and something I've tried to do in Spartacus and Daredevil and my other work, is I love a very diverse cast, and I love the idea of being able to go to locations around the world. And to me, Pacific Rim, and the DNA of the concept lends itself to that, of the world coming together, of different cultures coming together, and also the action being in different locations all around the Pacific Rim. So for me, it wasn't a duty, it was a pleasure to be able to figure out those beats and make it feel like the entire globe was coming together to fight a common threat. It's a standard idea in science fiction, but the way they went about it in the first movie I thought was so brilliant, especially with it taking two people cooperating together to run one of these Jaegers. So the whole thing, it was just a really natural progression.
You look back at the original and it felt like it's a very serious film, but this one felt a lot more fun than the previous one. Was that a conscious choice going in as well?
Absolutely. When I first got hired for the movie, I wrote up a couple of pages, my Pacific Rim Uprising manifesto of what I wanted to see for the movie. And the two things that really stood out to me looking back are I strongly felt it should be 2 hours or under.
Yeah.
That it should be lean and mean and fast, and that it had to be fun. And for me, I wanted to make a movie that I would have loved not only as an adult, but that would have really captured my imagination when I was younger. And part of that was to make sure that it was a good time. I wanted people to come out of the theater with a smile on their face.
John Boyega, he's also a producer on the film. So how was that collaboration process with him like?
It was fantastic. I'll be completely honest. I was a little nervous going in. Whenever an actor becomes a producer, it could go a couple of different ways.
Yeah.
But I got the best of all worlds with John. He was so enthusiastic. And genuinely funny. I mean, so much laughter on the set. Every time he stepped onto the set, it didn't matter if we were doing grueling, long days out in Olympic Park on the hot tarmac under the sun, or if he was strapped into one of those drive suits inside the compound of the Jaeger, getting shaken for 10, 12 hours a day on the gimbals. He always had a joke, and he always had good humor. And he was always so supportive, and he really particularly helped in the action sequence in the third act. We presented him with our ideas, and he loved all of them and said, you know, I think we can kick this up a notch even more. So he came in with me and Peter Chang, the visual effects supervisor, and we worked for a couple of days. We had a huge table laid out with a map of the city and a bunch of Jaeger and Kaiju toys on it, and we basically played around with those to really hone in the action, which I think made a huge difference. I cannot say enough good things about John on and off the screen.
That's really great to hear. He was great. I saw him doing an interview on the project last night, and he was
yeah.
fantastic.
That what you saw in that interview, that's John 24/7.
Okay.
Just a lovely human being.
That's great. So obviously, Pacific Rim is going to be a extremely CGI-heavy film.
Yeah.
Do you know roughly how many effect shots there were in the film?
Oh, you know, you start with a number, and then that's never the number you end up with. I want to say somewhere around 1,400 visual effect shots.
Yeah, it works.
Give or take, I think probably give a little more.
Obviously, you've worked in environments where obviously you would have used a green or blue screen before.
Mm-hmm.
What was it like working on a set like this where a massive chunk of it would have been? What's the hardest thing about doing that?
Well, thankfully, something that I didn't have in TV is a very detailed previs, which is kind of like the very rough, rudimentary computer animation.
Yeah.
On what's happening in a sequence. So I had my iPad with me, and I would constantly be referring to that and also showing the actors that. It's not like the old days where the actors are just staring at a tennis ball and don't know what they're supposed to be looking at. They actually have a pretty clear idea and a rough sense of what's going on. So that was invaluable to use that as a roadmap. And I've worked with visual effects and green screen, blue screen a lot in television. But again, this was just 20 times bigger, especially the stuff in the Jaeger Bay and out on the tarmac of the Shatter Dome.
Yeah.
It was just done on such a massive scale that, yeah, you know, even though you have previs, the previs just gives you the basics. I was continually surprised and excited when I saw the visual effects start to come in and see what the finished product was going to look like.
The film looked great. It looked very photoreal, which I was really impressed with. And I even, to be honest with you, may have shed a tear or two in a couple of moments on the film.
Well, that is great to hear. I mean, that was definitely the intention, is to have a lot of fun. But as Joss Whedon always taught me, you can have fun and still have some emotion in there as well.
Well, that's exactly right. Like, I think it's the whole people coming together for
yeah.
the same sort of mission. And then obviously everything in the third act with everything that's going on. And I don't know, it just got to me a couple of times and I was trying to hide my face. Luckily, there was only, what, four of us watching it, so it wasn't too bad. It wasn't a full cinema or anything. So I still felt good walking out.
Good, I'm glad to hear that.
What was your favourite scene to shoot? And obviously, you can go into spoiler territory here if you want. That's fine.
God, I mean, so many scenes. Most people think for a movie like this, you say, oh, this big action scene, that big action scene. Shooting an action scene is like going to war. It's not what I would call fun. It's fantastic when it's done and you see all the pieces in, but there is so much going on and you're always fighting the clock. For me, the most fun I have is shooting scenes with two people talking. I loved doing the scene with John and Scott in the kitchen. Things like that, or Kaylee Spaney and John, their interaction and their banter and their quieter moments. And a huge joy of working on this movie was Charlie Day and Bern Gorman. Anytime they were on set, they were so much fun, and we just laughed so much and had such a great time. The entire experience was just incredible.
Well, Charlie had to show a bit more range than I think I've seen him do before in this one.
You know, I had a conversation with Charlie when we were working on it. I mean, he was very excited to show that side of himself and also worried because he wanted to make sure that it felt grounded and real. And I remember we were on set working on that scene. And I told Charlie, I said, have you ever considered doing more drama? Because you're fantastic. We should do a drama together. And he said, you know, I actually started out as a dramatic actor. And I said, man, you should definitely dip your toe back into it. Because he was so easy to work with and so committed.
Yeah,
and
sure.
And really, you know, really wanted to show the emotion of his struggle and also keep that air of fun, which is such a fine line to walk. And he did it brilliantly.
Now, just to wrap up, just a quick one. I've been asked by a friend, her name's Anne Marie. She wanted to know what your favorite show that you've worked on.
Oh, man, that's like picking my favorite kid. You know, look, I loved Spartacus. It was the first thing that I ran. I loved Daredevil, working with Charlie Cox and Vincent D'Onofrio. Andrews, I've read comics since I was a kid. But if I had to pick one, it has to be Buffy. Because for me, I was working on a small MTV show, but when I got onto Buffy, that to me was always like the real start of my career. And everybody on that show that I worked with, Joss Whedon, Marty Noxon, Drew Goddard, the entire team, they were so brilliant and funny and supportive, and I learned so much and I laughed so hard. Buffy was definitely my favorite TV experience.
No worries, Stephen. Well, thank you very much for talking to me today. Good luck with the release of the film. As I said, I loved it, and thanks very much.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it. War ready.
But it doesn't matter where you came from, who believed in you and who didn't.
War ready.
This is our time. This is our chance to make a difference.
They've evolved.
And they could wipe out all life.
Y'all remember me? Y'all remember me? In my fall, cause I wanna get it on till I die. Get it on till I die.
I think I could get used to this.
In my fall, cause I wanna get it on till I die.
There's something you need to see. Pretty big.
Fire everything you've got!
Get it on till I